one for all. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Jack hasn't picked up the call, don't know where he is, and he signed off as soon as we tried to call him. So, left me hanging. Left me hanging, Jack. It's not cool, man. It's not cool. Well, in either case, if we can ever try to get him up on the thingy, that'd be nice. But, you know, in the meantime, I can rant. I can rave. I can talk about some things, you know. Or you can call in. Call lines are open after all. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. In the meantime, I just want to talk about personality for a moment, because many people who are very egotistical go around accusing everybody else of being, you guessed it, very egotistical. And they use this as a smokescreen to deny their own egotism, you know, and I'm not that foolish. I know I'm egotistical. The difference being, I'm not actually a bad person. Okay, there ain't nothing necessarily wrong with being egotistical. If you're a bad person, then that can be turned into something pretty nasty indeed. Especially if you're not the kind of person who ever admits that you're wrong. Or ever admits that you behaved badly, or never admits that, you know, you're maybe a bit childish from time to time, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And we've all got that that sort of little demon inside of us that, I don't know, when somebody criticizes us or whatever, you know, you get angry, you lash out, and so on and so forth, that reptilian brain response. How do you know if you're operating under a reptilian brain response, which is your fight-or-flight mechanism? Well, if you took 10 seconds, took a few deep breaths, would you say the same thing? All right? You know, that time when you insulted your mother or a family member or something of that nature, and you're, like, full of rage. You weren't saying that out of calm, reasonable approaches, were you? No. You're operating out of fight or flight. You know, they said something that upset you, so you attack them back. You know, straight away. That's what we're talking about here. It happens all the time, and truth is absolutely notorious for having this kind of fight or flight response. It's quite sad, really, because we're supposed to be the people. Well, we often view ourselves as the people who have awakened to the scumbaggery around us. We're often the people who think that we're the healthy ones, the ones who can think, the ones who can reason. Well, the reality is it's not true. In I wouldn't say most cases, but certainly a hell of a lot of them. You know, it's just not true. We're completely unreasonable a lot of the time. We're vicious. We're vengeful. We're shrill, shrieking people sometimes. And we best get a hold on that, you know, because anytime any conspiracy theorist says anything that's, you know, way out there and indicative of somebody who just doesn't have control over their own emotions, you make everybody in this movement look bad. And this movement does drive people nuts, all right? It actually, look, you come from a world says that everything's hunky-dory, politics is real, your vote counts, police are honest, food's healthy, you know, umpteen different lies. And you find out that everything that you've ever built your entire perception of reality on doesn't exist, really doesn't exist. Okay, so that's actually not just your perception of reality that was based upon that. That's actually your sanity that was based on that. Don't you find that interesting? Now, everything that you were firmly rooted on in your belief structure simply no longer exists, and as a result, you start to lose your mind. That's the purpose of the show, to use that humor. And you can see all of these conspiracy theorists who have been driven crazy like this, you know? The people who type the word LOL, L-O-L, when you know for a fact that they're not laughing out loud on the other side of that screen. Psychopaths, individuals, you know, of such a nature, who think that it's you know, perfectly okay to swear at and abuse people, set up fake websites in their names and things like that, fly off the handle and say, I'm going to expose all these shills and such and blah, blah, blah. And they wind up being, invariably, the very enemy of which they speak. They're actually the very toxin that they're trying to be the cure for, and they're just making things worse, you know? We're really going to be thinking about this, and a bit of self-analysis here, because it's the Ballad of the Cosmic Schmuck, and I've mentioned this on the air many times. Cosmic meaning big, schmuck meaning idiot. And how do you know if you're becoming the cosmic schmuck? Is if you never, ever question whether or not you are. All right? If each day you kind of think to yourself, you know, look in the mirror and go, am I the cosmic schmuck? Am I just really a big idiot? Am I crazy? All right? Crazy person never questions whether or not they're crazy. A schmuck never questions whether or not they're a schmuck. A cliche person never questions whether or not they're a cliche. Ergo, if you are constantly, and I really mean this on a constant basis, consistently, every single day, questioning whether or not you have become the cosmic schmuck, you will never become the cosmic schmuck. Okay? It's just that simple. This kind of self-analysis that I've applied to myself, I admit my flaws, I admit my faults, I admit that I don't know everything, I admit that I'm still on a learning curve here. I may have accomplished a heck of a lot more than most people in this particular sphere of influence and conspiracy and stuff like that, certainly in New Zealand anyway. But that doesn't mean that I'm a better person than anybody. That doesn't mean that I'm more talented or such and such and blah, blah, blah. Even if I was, if I let that go to my head and say that I'm the best and so on and so forth and blah, 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 and everybody else needs to fall in behind me because I'm the one who's ever wrong, etc., blah, blah, blah. I just turn into a douchebag, you know, if I'm not one already. Because, you know, I'm just questioning, you know, am I being a bit of a douchebag here? Am I being a bit of a douchebag by talking about my own douchebaggery? No, probably not. The other question is, can you live with yourself if you suddenly realize that you are being a douchebag? And of course you can, but only if you learn from it. All of those people out there who fly off the handle and get really angry for no apparent reason, start insulting you, ad hominem attacks, call you retarded if one of their insane assumptions wasn't proven. You know, it's like, what did somebody say to me the other night? Oh, yeah. there's so much craziness throughout society that it becomes nigh on impossible to maintain your sanity without self-analysis. All right? That's the ultimate thing here. And we'll take callers when we've got more than one caller on the line. So caller in the number's 218-339-8525. And I also got this real fear. Not for myself per se, you know, I think I might have, you know, have gotten it down a little, but the fear that I have is that other people don't realize this. They don't realize that they are evil. They don't realize that they are stupid. They don't realize that they are a cliche. And those people are actually really dangerous because they kill people like me who realize that I can be evil, that I can be a cliche, that I can be an idiot. All right? These people are mindless, the zombies, who really are at war with themselves. And because they're not willing to admit that, they go to war with people like me. You know? If I insult somebody, if I hurt their feelings, or if I say something that they don't agree with and they're really angry with me, I apologize. You know, I unreservedly apologize. Because, hey, what am I trying to cling on to? Am I trying to cling on to some kind of this air of me being right? No. I assume that I'm wrong. Because most of the time I am. And maybe I'm one of the few people in this world that's realized that I'm wrong most of the time. And it's only upon listening to others and what they really care about that you wind up having some kind of semblance, some kind of clarity that knowing everything is not a good thing. Thinking that you know everything, even worse. Why is it that people believe that they know everything? Why is it that people cannot admit that they are wrong? Why is it that people cannot apologize? Why is that? I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me because I'm not one of those people. Okay? Just like somebody would say, I see giant green leprechauns on everybody's back riding around with stirrups and a bit in their mouth and riding around people like horses. And to me, that just sounds really crazy. And sure enough, it is. You know why? Because I'm sane. And the reason why I don't see those things is because they don't exist. Okay? And I can think about that and just go, you know what? There really ain't no frickin' leprechauns. And can this person prove what they're saying to me? Okay, this person used a particular letter and colored it in or something like that. Therefore, they've been drone-striked and dead and have been destroying everything. Now, Jack Blood has just messaged me saying that he had a power surge as he clicked on the answer button, and now he's rebooting his machine. So he should be up with us any moment now. And Jack's been in the game for a very long time. And, you know, the thing that I love about Jack Blood is that, unlike a lot of radio show hosts in this business, he doesn't let it get to his head. And he still maintains true loyalty to people who are cool, essentially, especially himself. Jack, welcome to the program.
Like you, Mr. News.
Mm-hmm. What you been up to, brother?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm sorry I'm late, but just as you called and I went to go answer it, I got a power surge over here. This has really never happened before. And I do a lot of big shows, but I guess not as big as yours because somebody didn't want us talking. You know how I get. They hit grid button 6-404-B4-PS.
I thought it was -BS.
Power surge. Just they just push buttons now and we get shut.
Well, you know, you could get paranoid thinking about all of this kind of stuff, couldn't you, Jack?
I could if things weren't so coincidental. But but then again, it was a compliment to you, Mr. News.
Yeah. On the kind of show that you shouldn't come on, Jack.
Well, that people don't want me on. I'm by people, I mean Chelsea Manning and Hillary Clinton, who personally monitors me with a chip, by the way. Have I told you that one?
What kind of chip? Pringles? Yeah,
Hillary Clinton is
Doritos?
Monitoring me with a microchip, and together I can use that to triangulate UFOs and ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Hey, speaking of which, if people, accused you, like, I don't know. I got this message from people all the time, you know, just accusing people of just crazy stuff, just with no evidence whatsoever. And they claim that anybody who doesn't believe them hand over fist is retarded, right? Like, I made something up and I'm got no evidence to support my case. And if you don't believe me,
my argument is you're retarded.
Yeah.
Okay.
I presume people have made crazy accusations about yourself. I was wondering if you want to elucidate on what they are.
Well, that's how we're going to start today.
Yeah. Well, we've only got one minute before we come to our first break, unfortunately.
Well, we should tease people. What is, you might want to call in. What is the craziest rumor you've heard about Jack Blood? Because I've heard some real good ones. I think one of my favorites is that I shave my arms. I don't know why I would do that and what that even means. But apparently, you know, and that's ahead of sells drugs to little children at elementary schools. You know, I mean, just really the worst things you can think of I've been accused of. And that's why I'm on the show, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't have a decent radio broadcast without a person who's been accused of shaving his arms and selling drugs to children.
I don't grow hair on my arms. I'm sorry. It's a genetic flaw. Blame my ancestors in South Ireland.
Yeah. It must have been one of the side effects of the potato famine.
Too many potatoes is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I think that's right. You need to eat some more freedom fries, methinks.
Well, if I make them myself, we will. Yeah, I heard your talk about food in the last segment. I thought that was interesting, and that's certainly a debate I'll be happy to weigh in on. Can you force people to do the right thing and be healthy? And since we got here incrementally through social engineering, I suggest we get back, not incrementally, all at once through re-engineering.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Well, we're coming to break now. We'll be right back with the fabulous, the illustrious, the magnanimous Jack Bloody Blood. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Look at me, driving.
Welcome back.
And it feels so good to be
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And also, of course, welcome back, Jack. And deadlinelive.info, that's deadlinelive.info, and once again, for propagandistic purposes, so that you'll remember it and think that it's believable, deadlinelive.info. Jack Blood, welcome to the show, and we need you to talk about a man named Bob Bowman, I believe, who I'm completely unfamiliar with, but as I mentioned over the show, whenever a truther mentions the name of somebody who is no longer with us, it's because humanity has suffered a great loss, and I want to find out what it was I was missing out on.
Yeah, well, truth or not, we are all at a great loss to lose a hero like Bob Bowman today. You know, he was on American Freedom Radio all the time. He was head of Star Wars under two U.S. presidents. That would have been Ford and Carter. He got, I guess, replaced before the big Star Wars money came in under Reagan. So he was a physicist, and he also was a war hero in Vietnam, where he won several medals. I think he flew 101 missions in Vietnam. But later, he came out to be a 9/11 truther and also a patriot and a constitutionalist. He ran in the I think they call it the space county or the space region in Florida, almost beat the incumbent there for a congressional seat. If the Democrats, he ran as a Democrat, Vinny, and the Democrats wouldn't support him. So they wouldn't give him $1 and one headline, or couldn't get in the debates, nothing. And he still almost won. He's just an amazing guy. And I had the real distinct honor of working with Bob in person. And we did a lot of events around the country together and online. He was, you know, every good definition of a true American hero. He'd had cancer for years, thanks to Monsanto and Agent Orange. But he really marched onward in every effort to take this country back from the despots and deliver it back into the hands of we the people. And I've always been a little bit ashamed that more people didn't get his back. But I've got a big story on him at deadlinelive.info. Kevin Barrett, also, who is a veteran of American Freedom Radio, wrote a great story and included some of the clips, Bob Bowman on Sean Hannity and Bob Bowman doing a thing on Building 7. But when I would get the big heavyweights on my show, like Tim Russert or whoever, I would always drop his name, because when he is, you know, wanting the truth for 9/11, when he doesn't believe the official story, conspiracy theory to 9/11,
You know, that's really a very powerful thing. He's not some kid who lives in his mother's basement and is on medication. He is a former head of Star Wars and a war hero. So, but even Hannity didn't respect that. It shouldn't surprise you. But great American, and it's just sad that he's gone, but I know he's in a better place, and I'll see him again.
Yeah. I was speaking to my friend John Eisen the other day. In fact, I mentioned this on the, this week in particular a number of times. There's these really great, honorable, talented and respectable people in the movement, and when they're gone, they're gone forever. And you know, usually what's supposed to happen is that the next generation takes over. There'll be somebody comparable to, say, pick up the mantle of these great men and women that are no longer with us. And sadly, I fear that humanity's devolving, and that there's not enough greatness, say, in my generation to pick up the mantle of somebody like that.
It's an interesting concept, and it's fair to say, no offense to anyone, but Chelsea Manning was no Dr. Bob Bowman, if you're comparing generations, because that would be, you know, our version of a national whistleblower of that caliber, and someone who's done military service. You know, it's funny that you also mentioned this, because when I talk to some of the experts that I know around the world, and I say, why is it that Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, and then, you know, now it's Hillary Clinton who's getting the mantle, and all these other people, why are they still around? Why, these guys are like 90 years old. They're all on, you know, medication and on machines and stuff. They're like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons, you know. And why are these guys still around and still running stuff? And the answer I always get back is that they've used this education system to dumb people down so much, Vinny, that they can't find viable replacements for themselves.
They've really fracked themselves, haven't they?
I mean, it works both ways, and I think we have a better educational outreach than they do. So if you just want to talk about, you know, Madison Avenue / social engineering from Tavistock Institute, yeah, they do okay, you know, but we get them. They come out of the universities, and they're pissed off. They hate government. They owe them all this money, and they fall right into your lap, Mr. News.
Yeah, I actually came to that philosophical conclusion the other day, Jack. Is thank God that the government's tyrannical. Thank God that the education system dumbs people down. Thank God that there's chemtrails and so on and so forth. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't have an audience.
Well, what are you going to talk about? You know, here's Mr. News with sports today, and what's going on in the Kardashian household?
Yeah.
You'd quit.
Here's Vinny Eastwood with another mindless psychobabble BS speech.
Well, listen, there's always been evil in the world. There's always been work to do. And I hate to break it to your utopian audience, if there is anyone out there hoping for their utopia tomorrow because someone told you it's coming, it's not. It's going to be a generational fight forever until the end of time, until we completely shift consciousness. And you can, I guess, describe, debate, and break down whatever that means. But that's what's going to have to happen. The violent and hate and insecurity consciousness has to go to the peace and love consciousness. But then again, people hear that and they go, nah, that sounds boring. So,
yeah,
I'm good.
People thought that when Hitler was defeated that, there's no more evil. You know, it's just like, look, the Founding Fathers were right, man. The price of freedom truly is eternal vigilance.
Well, I follow the money, and the money from Hitler led right to Wall Street. So I'm sure that sounds cliche, but it's the truth.
Yeah. And U.S. Standard Oil, they gave patented technology to the Luftwaffe, without which Germany wouldn't have had an air force, you know.
And IBM,
who's U.S. Standard Oil?
Tattoos in the concentration camps, right? So, and here they are today, as big as ever, Big Blue, man.
Yeah. I mean, who's U.S. Standard Oil owned by? Oh, the Rockefellers. All right. Who donated all the money to and the land for the United Nations to be set up after World War II? That's right, the Rockefellers. And who was the very first Attorney General of the UN? Oh, that's right, a former Nazi Party member.
Listen,
come on.
If you dug Richard Nixon up and you brought him into this day and age, he'd be horrified. He'd be standing with us. He'd be the first one to the front lines with an AR-15.
Yeah.
And I can't get any much more corrupt than Nixon. I love that. I have Greg Palast on my show this week. He's got a great new piece out on Larry Summers, who it looks like, at least Vegas is betting, is going to be our next new chairman of the Federal Reserve. Long story. But I asked him in 2008, who's going to win the election? And he said, Nixon. It'll be John McCain Nixon or Obama Nixon. And Nixon will win. And you look at the last 5 years, and you couldn't have said it more succinctly than that. Nixon did win the election in 2008. He wins every year.
A Nixon quote that I like to use is he accused Woodward and Bernstein of being conspiracy theorists. And later on, he was exposed as being part of a conspiracy. You know,
did you ever see the Oliver Stone movie? There's a great Oliver Stone story out right now, too, by the way. But there's an Oliver Stone movie about Richard Nixon.
Really?
And Anthony Hopkins plays Richard Nixon. He does a really good job. And at one point there, I think it's just before he becomes president, they're at a cocktail party and Henry Kissinger comes up to him and he says this. What good is being president if you can't nominate a Rockefeller? So, it's like, basically, what good is voting if you can't have a Rockefeller for president? And, man, they almost pulled it off just a few years later. So, Nelson Rockefeller, if he hadn't had a heart attack in bed with his mistress, don't we wish that would happen more often? you know, we'd be maybe even, who knows? Could it be worse? I don't know. It's hard to tell.
You know, I struggle to see how things could be worse. And yet, at the same time, I'm not naive enough to think that this is as bad as it's going to get. It is going to get much worse, you know, and so bad that we can't even imagine how bad it could possibly be. That's
well,
my great
fear. Look, you can talk to the people of North Africa or the people in the Congo or the refugees in the Middle East right now or the starving people in Asia. They'll tell you it can be worse, and it is worse for them, and we are very spoiled here in the United States. I don't know about you New Zealanders.
Same diff.
You know, I mean, poverty for us isn't really complete massive poverty. There's always a place to go and get help, and that's one of the things I guess we could be proud of, but at what cost? Ultimately, though, it can get worse, Vinny, but it's almost as if it gets worse, then it will start getting better. So at some point, it's not that I'm wishing this upon people, and I really want to avoid, you know, revolution and civil war and a complete breakdown of the system, which people predict every year and never happens.
Yeah, every time.
I would love to avoid that, but it can get that way. And what's more importantly, it is that way for people around the world, and that's our problem too, man.
You know, it's funny as you mentioned this because I've stopped looking at predictions for the end of the world now and predictions of the financial collapse because every other week I'll get somebody saying, oh, this big planetary body's coming here, it's going to destroy us. Ignore. This big financial collapse is going to happen in such and such a time. Ignore. We're all going to ascend and turn into angel beings and stuff like that on August 24th. Ignore. You know the reason why I ignore all these? Because I've heard it all before and it never fracking happens.
Yeah, it's the doom and gloom sells, and I've always been not very popular for saying, I remember, I think it was back 2006, everyone was saying that an attack on Iran was going to happen any day, and I was like maybe the only person that I could hear saying it's not going to happen because of A, B, C, and D, and it didn't, and the people that were listening got mad at me for saying it, and when it didn't happen, they were embarrassed, so they never came back to listen to me again. You know, and it's the same thing with this economic doom and collapse and the end of the world. I really, you know, think that this incrementalism, this Fabian socialism has been working pretty good for the most part. The newer generation, unlike the Henry Kissinger of the world, they want to go a little faster, and that is definitely concerning. And hey, we should all be prepared and we should all take very seriously that the carpet could be pulled out from underneath us at any time because there has to be global polarity. That's what they work at things like the Bilderberg Group. But we got to keep in mind that, you know, there is a depression for people, even in this country. It's just because it's happening to them. When it happens to somebody else, Vinny, it's a recession. Okay, it's a bad economic climate and all kinds of cool university words. When it happens to you, it's a depression and you're poor and it hurts and you lose everything, whether it's the farm that's been in your family for six generations or the house that you just put everything into. You know, they're into just sucking all this stuff up like a giant vacuum cleaner. And when it happens to you, it is really awful.
See, I think that the New World Order is, like you say, going to use the old Fabian socialist model of just incrementally turning the heat up until there is nothing left. And it's only once there is nothing left that people will lose their mind. And that's when all of the, you know, war and full-on mega depression and such will be brought in. We ain't at that point yet. We're nowhere near that point yet. I mean, as long as there's still people who own a car or own a house, until everybody's slaves, they really ain't going to try and push the envelope too far, I don't think. And I don't know if you've seen this many times, but every other month, somebody's predicting another 9/11, a new false flag to usher in the New World Order, and it never frickin' eventuates. Now, does it or does it not eventuate because somebody predicted it and the New World Order goes, you know what? Maybe people will see this for what it is too quickly. And I don't think so. I think that they're just crazy enough and they've got enough control over the media that they can stage anything they want, anytime they want, and the vast majority of people will believe it, no matter even if it gets exposed within 5 minutes, like every other false flag little attack that's happened in America in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind if I disagree with that. I think the reason that things don't go faster is because we won't buy it and we won't believe it. This has to be covert colonization of property and mind. And they, you know, again, the old guard is still in charge for the most part. George Herbert Walker Bush is sickly as he looks. He's, you know, he's still pulling a lot of strings here. These are how these guys do it. And I'd be really surprised until we're going to probably see in the next couple of years, Vinny, a huge die-off. A lot of these guys are going to go bye-bye. And maybe because, just like in old Rome, you know, the younger son kills the father in order to take the throne. And they've got to be sitting there thinking about that, too. So until those guys get in, I'm not super worried about it. But even then, it's so hard to sell. You know, Huxley was right. And Orwell was wrong in that context. That, remember, I think we've talked about this in the show before, that Huxley said they've got to, you know, trick the people into the slavery. And Orwell was saying, well, you just punish people into the slavery. And we know there's a little bit of both. But all of this being Pavlovian, you know, that's what's going to work for people. So it's funny that even you bring this up, because Mueller, who's going out, he's been our FBI director since 9/11. And he's just going out now. And they got another stooge coming in. And he, on his way out, he says, we're going to get hit with another 9/11 right now. The word fear is used in the headline. Fears another 9/11 style attack on the United States. Now, when you look at the climate and people are complaining and bitching and having real good debates about, you know, privacy and the NSA and the power, the overreaching power of not just the government, but global intelligence and space listening devices, the listening devices, you know, hacking your pacemaker, you know, hacking your Mercedes and crashing. You know, people are having these crazy discussions right now, and it would be the perfect time to pull off a huge 9/11. But they did a little.
Now, we're coming to break now.
But hold on, 9/11 test in Boston, and I think that failed. And maybe we can talk about that on the other side.
Indeed.
It'll be 9/11 times 1,000. That's right. 911,000.
You're all going to die.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment today of the Vinny Eastwood Show. My illustrious guest is none other than Jack Blood, who is a legend in the truth movement and has maintained integrity but not an audience, but which is one of the things that happens when you're correct, isn't it, Jack? If you sitting around saying, look, don't panic, it's not the end of the world, everybody wants to hear the end of the world, don't they? And if you're right, they stop listening to you. But if you say, oh, it's the end of the world, we're all going to die, I'll get your guns and your storable dried food and your Patriot Snuggie, oh my God, it's all, the Shiite Muslims going to hit the fan, and then nothing happens,
Everybody won't be your friend.
Patriot Snuggie. I love that.
It's a Snuggie that has a gun holster and 6 years of dried food in it.
You know what, Vinny? First of all, I reach 45,000 people a week and about a million people a year. So I'm not complaining. You know, we get the word out. And the reason that we're not plastered all over everything is because there's a new generation that's come in and they're sucking up the oxygen, and good for them. I mean, that's why we did what we did 10, 15 years ago, is so there would be new generations coming. And you alluded to that in the last segment. So I'm pretty happy to give them the limelight. But seeing as I've interviewed thousands of experts and read hundreds and hundreds of books on the subject of deep covert operations, and I have a pretty decent understanding and an amazing track record, a lot of the people listen to us, Vinny, and don't listen to anyone else because yeah. There just isn't anyone like Jack Blood. And I'm proud of that. We have our niche, and you do. And maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe that's kind of the new era of new media, is that there's just a lot of people, you know, having 15 minutes or something. But I'm real proud of the work we do. And now I do a weekly podcast at deadlinelive.info. We're having amazing guests. I'm focusing a lot of time on putting out quality products here that normally I couldn't do when I was live, and everything just spun out of control and people put the show on. I couldn't control it. Right now, we're working really hard to put together a weekly quality product, and I hope people will come check it out and support us. We have no commercials for anything. It's totally listener supported, and you support and you donate to us, and we take our giant bank of karma and we dole a little bit out to all of you, and do what we can for our friends and our family and our people out there. But no annoying commercials, just cool rock and roll and great guests and very, I hope, unique commentary.
How many years have you been in this game, Jack?
I've been on the radio every day since 1995, you know, one way or another. But I did do about 5 years first of, I think we started our news show in May of 2001, literally just months before 9/11. And I'd done music shows and stream of consciousness shows before that. So I have a real love for the medium. You know, I don't do TV, even though I've had a lot of offers to do stuff like that. I don't do videos. I don't write books, at least right now. I mean, we're just doing what we do, and that's my art form. And I consider myself, above all else, a revolutionary poet. Yeah, but that's what I say. Let's talk about art, said the fool to the idiot. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking that you're kind of like a, well, I hope you don't take offense to this, but you're kind of like George Norrie in a lot of ways, is that you don't really change much. You're like, you stay irrevocably the same guy, and you stay really down to earth no matter how many years you've been in radio, no matter how big your audience gets. And I was just wondering, you know, if for people who are rising up, even maybe people like myself, how do you maintain your integrity? How is it that you stay so down to earth with so many years of experience to under your belt?
Okay, well, I'll go there. First of all, I'm from Seattle. So you've seen what happens to Seattle bands when they get famous. They kill themselves. The two things just don't go together. So I hate fame, and I've had several incarnations of it, I guess, in my life, and I usually will sabotage myself if it even comes. So, you know, I don't take myself that seriously. I have a family around me that is extremely supportive, that sacrificed for a decade for me to do what I do and what helps people, we feel, and what's putting, you know, some positive energy into the world. And I'm just ultimately committed to not crossing the line. So even though I've been called a sellout and people have made stuff up about me, they can't ever prove anything, Vinny, because I never did. And I walked away before hitching myself to these wagons, a Patriot wagon, a Republican wagon, a Libertarian wagon, a Green Party wagon, a Democrat wagon, a liberal, a conservative, a progressive, an anarchist. I just don't do it. I don't join groups. I don't hitch myself to wagons, and we go our course. And I try to really feed off the energy from our audience. I try to really, you know, put myself in their shoes. And those are the kind of debates we have, not because I want to have them, because I feel that people want to have that debate. So we try to serve that purpose.
In other words, you try to live your life for your audience's sake, not for your own sake, right?
Well, listen, Picasso never sold a painting. You know what I'm saying? Does it matter? Are you what success you have while you're alive in this world? Does it matter? I don't think that Bill Cooper thought he'd be as successful as he is even today. You know, going back, if I want to just drop that name, or if we want to look at, again, we could just go back to all the Anthony Sutton. We can just rip through all the old names and those guys that are gone now, and they would never have imagined that so many millions of people would have saw their work. They were doing mimeographs and passing them out in bookstores. You know what I'm saying? People were getting subscriptions through magazines and newsletters. You know, so I think what we do now, I really truly believe that what we're doing now will be remembered forever, and that's why I encourage everybody to get their feet wet, get in. You're going to be looked at going back in time, because this time is so monumentous in history. You know, we're the bridge from analog to digital. We're the bridge from, you know, gears to circuits and from satellites to, you know, going and banging people's doors down with muskets. You know what I mean? This is a huge change in this time, and we're kind of responsible for it. So I think people will look back in history and they'll look at Vinnie Eastwood, and hopefully they'll look at me and they'll see the work we did, and it will mean something to them 100 years from now. So I don't even really care about what's going on now. I put the energy out. I hope to create the world I want to live in.
I was just thinking about this the other day. Let's say there's somebody in the truth movement who's got, like, I don't know, a big following or whatever, and you want a piece of that following, but you know that that person's not a good person. Like, they're actually a really bad person. And I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was just like, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want to actually associate with anybody who I don't actually respect as a good, decent person, no matter what they're offering me, no matter what they can give me.
I'm really lucky that I don't live in that world and I don't live in that bubble. I believe in ideas over personalities, and I'm really looking to recruit new people into thinking for themselves. I'm not asking them to think anything in particular. I just want them to do the diagnostic for themselves. I want them to use critical thinking, if that's not too cliche. So for me, I don't want anything to do with the existing pie. I'll let you know who's
going to bake your own pie. Don't you? Don't want scraps from the king's table.
Yeah, I want to go out and make the pie bigger, and you know, let's because it's not going to take everybody in the world. It's only going to take a small percentage of people in the world to come to a consensus that we don't want violence, we don't want to be ruled by violence, and that we don't want to pay for violence, and that just gets me started. So you know, this isn't about personalities, and I know that when people start getting into this information cycle, they do settle on personalities. They start trusting people and all the rest. That's just human nature. It has nothing to do with my work or the condition that I think we're in. So if an idea is good, people will back it, and it will become a consensus, and that will become a reality.
Well, you know, we mentioned on the hour before you came on, Jack, about the old Gandhi quote about being the change that you want to see. And I think that's really a great philosophy to follow. But the point being that you can't be what anybody else wants you to be. You have to be who you are comfortable with being.
And it's real easy for us to say, you know, the jobs we have, we're really lucky. You and I are two lucky men. We're doing what we want to do. We're doing something that we feel, you know, serves a higher purpose. And we get a lot of, you know, creative satisfaction from the whole thing. And we're not going and working for wages. Watch the movie Misfits. It's all about working for wages versus going out and making your own way in the world. It's the last Marilyn Monroe and Clark Gable movie, but it's just a fantastic movie. And I actually play clips from that movie on my show every once in a while. You know, so the people are out there and they do have to work for wages. They do have to go take shit from their boss every day, pardon my false. And they do have to, you know, live a life that is at the specs and the conditions of others. And we just want to soften that up. We just want to make that not so intrusive and not so bad, because it wasn't 20 or 30 years ago. So, you know, if we can make a little bit, it doesn't, we don't have to figure out and solve the world's problems right now. But if we can make things a little bit better today, I talk about positive austerity a lot, which is saving money on things that make us miserable. We don't pay for them, you know, this kind of thing. And now that more and more people, I think, are opening up almost through osmosis on this, Vinny, I'm seeing the change all around me. So I live in East Atlanta. If I haven't told you this, there's not a box store. There's not a chain store. There's not a 7-Eleven. There's not a Burger King or a McDonald's. None of that. It's not allowed in our area. It's just the people won't stand for it. It's all local and homegrown and natural and clean. And that could be moving on.
Yeah. Well, I think baby steps got us on into this situation, but the counterculture and resistance to this, I believe, has a snowball effect. It's getting bigger and bigger until eventually it's just going to wash away all this crap that is destroying our lives and our consciousness on a consistent basis. And it's men like Jack Blood, ladies and gentlemen, who maintain their integrity through the scumbaggery that are the examples to follow, but not the men you want to become. You want to become your own man, your own woman, and have your own course through life. And that's, I think, the example that Jack Blood really poses for me. Thank you, Jack, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.
Stay bold and hi to all my friends at America.